This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Star Wars Skeleton Crew.
This is a show that hasn't been in a lot of discussions lately. And it's funny enough that there's a Lego set that just came out weeks before the show came out. And I was worried because we are getting a lot of Star Wars content. And when does the content actually run out of substance? That was what I was worried about. What's going to happen with this? And then I heard about Skeleton Crew. I was like, okay. And it just completely surprised me how fun this show is. I literally spent the entire week completely invested in this show. I just binge watched it. You watched it every week, Tom. It just reminded me of the stuff that I was growing up with, you know, watching Star Wars, the coming of age stories as well. And it's just classic, it's timeless, and we just get to experience Star Wars in a unique perspective. And Skeleton Crew has just so many cool things inside the story and the world as well. It is such a cool show. What do you think, Tom?
I think that they have nailed this kind of Goonies, E.T., Stand By Me vibe of 80s stories about kids. Very similar to something like Stranger Things. It's not for kids, but it is about kids. And the basic plot is these kids live on the most boring planet. It's basically the American suburbs in the Star Wars galaxy. And they find a pirate ship. They get whisked away to the other side of the galaxy. And they don't know how to get back. Very simple premise. Again, it's very Goonies. And that's exactly what John Watts and Christopher Ford were going for. This show is, I mean, any Star Wars show or film, tension's high with me personally because I love Star Wars so deeply. I want all of it to be good. And not all of it will be for me, but I want it to all be for me. And I saw the trailer for this way back in April 2023 during Star Wars Celebration London. And there was this little segment with John Watts and Christopher Ford, who created the show, where they did a little funny video. And as somebody whose only exposure to John Watts is MCU Spider-Man films, which I'm not a massive fan of, I wasn't too excited to see that he was going to get a Star Wars show. And after seeing the teaser, which no one else had seen at that point, apart from, you know, who was in that room, I was kind of like, hold on, there's something here, like they're cooking. And a year later, we then get the actual marketing for the show and people are still kind of like, oh, I don't know about the show. And I'm so glad that this show exists. It was such a delight. It feels like Andor. I was thinking to myself, why do I need this show? And they have just proven why I need it by making something that is surprising, something interesting, something different, and something good. And so often you forget as a fan that these franchises need to continue to challenge you, they need to continue to surprise you. And I'm with you. I was surprised. I was delighted. I had a great time.
I don't know why. I thought you were going to make, like, I'm a Gundai joke.
I would never. How dare you, sir?
The I'm a Gundai show. But no, as I was keep thinking about, like, Andor. It's not on the same level with that, but it just felt completely different to anything that you've seen in Star Wars in terms of, like, you can't really compare it. We get to follow these kids who are going on this crazy adventure that meets a pirate-esque robot, but there's all these pirates as well. And it kind of reminded me of One Piece in similar ways. Again, I'm a huge
Of course it did. Of course it did.
One Piece.
Sorry. It feels like you've only ever watched One Piece and everything you watch, you're like, I'm getting serious One Piece vibes from this.
Yeah. Again, it's about who you want to be, the coming of age story and chasing your dreams. But what I was just so impressed with was the character work for this show. They were just so natural. Like, all the characters that feel flawed, they felt like they had their own motives and goals. Especially Jude Law's character, Jod. We like him, we don't like him. It's that complex, that what makes him really interesting all the way through. And there's one bit in the show, that meme I keep seeing is like, okay, just shoot me, just shoot me. We do get to see the relatability, but also there's the complex, dark side of him. Neo as well, what a wonderful character.
Oh, my sweet baby boy.
There's a beautiful episode discussing about war, like why we fight. And I just love we get to see these character pieces, like different perspectives, given something that feels like they're three-dimensional. I do wish we get to see more of the parent side, but we do get to see something at the end with Wim's father. We do get to see more of that arc. So I was surprised about that with John Watt, because the Spider-Man movies, they really impressed me.
This show almost makes me want to revisit the Spider-Man movies. Maybe I'm thinking to myself, you know, the last time I watched them was 2021. I'm sure if you listen back to the podcast, podcast on those MCU Spider-Man movies, it would have been very harsh. I'd be the first to hold my hands up and say, sometimes I can be blinded by my love or hatred of something. And maybe I just need to go back and be like, is this show, I'm older, I'm wiser, is this show made me understand John Watts as a creator and what he wanted to do? I agree with you, the characters are all so amazing. This is a really funny show, but you also, they don't skip out on the emotional moments. And I agree with you, the big criticism of this show is that they immediately split the plot into two. There's the kids' side and then the parents' side back on their planet on At-Atin. And for me, I just was wanting more every week. Every single time we would get maybe one scene of the parents and I wanted more. It was a real disappointment that we didn't get to really delve into that. It's like E.T., right? And these kinds of comparisons are going to come up a lot. In E.T., it's almost as much about Elliot and E.T. as it is about Elliot mum, who has gone through a divorce and is trying to figure out things in life. And you find that when you return to these films as an adult. And this one, I was really, apart from I think maybe the final episode, we don't get enough of the parents, and that is a shame. Not to harp on the negatives, because I think this show was really, really good. Again, it's not an issue with the show as much as it's an issue with the structure. We say this every time we cover something on Disney Plus, whether it be a Star Wars show or a Marvel show. 8 episodes ain't enough, dude. Like, give me 10, give me 12, for God's sake. It always feels that these shows could do with an extra. This show was incredibly well structured, was incredibly consistent, but it couldn't with an extra episode. Just one. Yeah.
And the runtime was weird as well. Mm. It would go to like 30 to 40. So I do wish that we would get longer runtime with these characters. Again, it does feel like a character-driven story. But I also love the design, the practicality that went into this. My favorite design out of this is SM-33. 33 is like the coolest droid. I just love the pirate voice acting that goes along with it. The eyes gone out, and there's a leg that's like a wooden leg as well. They've taken a lot of things to think about pirates in Star Wars. Mm. I do have a question for you. Are pirates like fully explored in the Star Wars universe, or is it just not developed?
A little bit. We got a little bit of them in The Mandalorian season 3. One of the pirates from that show is actually in this one. Just a background one, but kind of. We have pirates who show up in the Clone Wars and in Rebels, specifically Hondo is fan favorite, but not massively. It's an interesting thing that this show actually goes into. We know that pirates date back. There's the legendary Tak Renard and the Onyx Cinder, and obviously SM-33.
Oh,
and also he's played by Nick Frost. Just so cool to see Nick Frost in Star Wars.
I remember no one at Atten. It's just a legendary voice line for that.
Or when he keeps on going, I, and then he comes back and he goes, I, again. I love it.
And then the creature as well that lives in his, his head as well.
No,
it's just the details. It's just so cool. I want a Lego just of him, just standing like that with all the metallic rust on him. Mm, and it just, so cool. So cool. And Onyx Cinder as well. Love that design.
Yeah,
like when you get
really
the cool reveal later on, so many details that went into this. Mm. It's just crazy. I just love this. So much.
I mean, like the effects are wonderful. The visual and practical effects are all perfect. I mean, just to list off a few, you've said SM-33, but Kim, the owl creature, Brutus, the wolfman, the massive crab, all of the ships. And
oh,
I've
the
got
crab.
To say,
can we talk about the crab?
Talk about the crab, please.
Okay, because the crab, that's stop motion, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
That is so cool how much they put into that work. I love how they integrated it, because you can't really tell, but it just really has this grand scale of this giant crab that you get to see. That
just
has
for
a
small role as well. The crab isn't a massive player, but they just put that effort into it. It's Tippett Studios, Phil Tippett, who did the stop motion for the original Star Wars movies and for Jurassic Park. That's his studio. It's incredible. And I've got to say, not once in this show, apart from one time, I did not notice the volume at all. Everything
felt
tangible and real, and they did film it on the volume. We know they did, and I adored it, especially episode 3 when they go into Kim's moon and the score by Mick Giacchino, which is amazing, but it's doing like it's like theremin, and it's like as they're like walking on this moon and like the massive moon's like behind them and they're all silhouetted. It's amazing.
And everything, the cinematography for that.
Yeah. I mean, we have some amazing directors in this show. Just to list them
off
for everyone.
They cooked,
We got John Watts. We got Bryce Dallas Howard, who always makes a great Star Wars episode. Jake Schreier's in here. Lee Isaac Chung's in here. We got the Daniels. And of course, David Lowery, the director of The Green Knight. He does episodes 2 and 3, and I was just so impressed the whole time. Yes, there was one scene where they're going down a big lift, and I was like, that's the volume. And it did feel a bit weird. You know, in episode 7, when they're going down the lift,
it
was a bit like, oh, there's the volume. But other than that, it was amazing. And it just, again, like, you realize that the volume isn't the issue. It's how you use the volume. The volume can be an incredible tool. You see it in Mandalorian season 1 and season 2. You see it in this show. And I just kind of think this could be revolutionary in the right hands. And I wonder, so this show was supposed to come out in 2022 and then 2023 and then 2024. Like, it kept on being delayed. Maybe not that long. Maybe it was only 2023 and 2024. I wonder if the long post-production period was the reason why it looks so good, because they took so much time making it look right.
Yeah, I wondered that too, because they have taken a lot of care into what they wanted to explore. When you compare the production stuff for Mandalorian, they have kept a tight schedule over the years. You do get to see a lot of the volume in The Mandalorian, especially in season 3. It's very jarring. It just feels a bit kind of rushed to say. It just doesn't feel right. But I think this, it does feel more practical compared to the other shows. I mean, Andor.
No volume in Andor, baby.
No volume. So it has this realism. There's nothing really jarring or anything. Yeah. It doesn't feel oversaturated. Mm. The ship as well. Like, you get to go indoors as well. Like, to see the Onyx Cinder in its glory.
There are so many moments where the kids are hanging out. Like, there's one where SM33 is telling them stories of Captain Renard, and they're all sat around listening. And then there's another one where they're all sleeping on hammocks, and there's one where they're playing this kind of ball game throughout the corridors. It's really good. There are these little moments that I think are so nice, and I love throughout that everything feels so lived in. And so, again, it's that kind of tangibility to it, and it works well with the plot as well. We get that TV thing where every episode we go to a new planet and we get to explore everything quite nicely. And I love how numerous small moments and jokes come back around and actually have, like, relevance. Like, SM33, you said it before, can't say I remember no at-in. Like, that becomes relevant. Or Fern wiping her droid's memory at the beginning of the series and then comes back. Or the idea of claimsies. And, of course, I will count this now as spoiler territory, but the massive gun on top of the school that they set up in episode 4 and then comes back at the end. It's just fun. It's fun stuff.
Oh my God. I need some physical release this.
Yes.
I don't know why. It just has so much enjoyability out of this. Like, there's so many things that you just want to see in the story again, like the different planets they go to. And another thing as well is that they've taken some of the smaller things that we don't realize in the world, like hidden planets, different wars that are happening on those other planets of all, like on Akron as well. So it's like those things that really are interesting to me, because the main divide is the New Republic versus the Galactic Empire. So it's just like the two big things that you're like, oh yeah, these are the two things, but there's more at stake as well, like with the hidden planets, like what are the consequences of the whole thing that happened with the Old Republic as well. That was so interesting as well, that they shield this world off. It's the whole history that happened. And I was doing a bit of research as well. Not research, but on Wikipedia. There was one bit where Wim said about the tales of the night or something on Akron. I thought that's interesting, about Jedi Knights that woke up 100 years later or something. Right. I just found it on Wikipedia. That just intrigued me. So it just gives you this grand scale about there's so many things that are happening.
Yeah, and we've never explored it properly from a child's perspective. Right. Obviously, there have been child characters and they are great and we get some good stuff of them, but really here we see this from a fresh perspective, from an interesting perspective. The idea of them being like, what war? They find out about the Galactic Civil War and they're just like, huh? That's crazy. And it is something that I wanted to see more of. A criticism that I had was, I love the final scene, you know, they all reunite, they have a big hug, and there's this beautiful moment where Wim looks at the X-Wings as they pass overhead, and you kind of think to yourself, that boy's going to be a pilot or something.
Yeah.
And then it just ends.
It just ends.
Credits. What?
Is there a resolution to this?
Right.
And I was like,
huh?
Excuse me? What? Because it just felt like, oh, they get to reunite. And I feel like, are they trying to set something else here? I'm a bit concerned because I'm glad what they've done. They ended on a really nice note. A bit weird to like not have some sort of like resolution. Are they trying to set something up, or is it just a well-rounded story that is just set on Atten?
The barrier's down. They are exposed. The New Republic know about them. There's a lot that I want to know, how does the society integrate into the New Republic? How do they react to all the news? How do all the characters react to however many years of galactic history? How does the New Republic react to all the money that they have now come into contact with? Surely that's going to be some sort of issue with banking.
Hyperinflation as well. Like so much hyperinflation.
All the money is worthless now.
Yeah, and, right? And, imagine and you just introduce that into the world of, like, the currency and stuff.
How does that work with the Imperial Remnant and the First Order? Is the reason why the New Republic could fund the Resistance because it had so much money? When the First Order blew up Hosnian Prime, did that take away a bunch of the money? I have questions about the cash. And
the cash. Maybe did the cash also fund galactic projects as well?
Starkiller Base.
Yeah, Starkiller Base as well. Yeah. Interesting. So that consequence of the barrier might have left some huge things that...
Yeah.
Maybe there's planets like them, like at Aten. Maybe there's...
Right, we've already seen
at
Akrin. We know there are more. I think it's incredibly, incredibly interesting. And for the show to just end, it's kind of like, hold on, so much that I want to see here. I know that John Watts and Christopher Ford have ideas for a season two. They've said that they would have it happen in real time, so the kids would age, which I think is a brilliant idea. We don't want the kids to be still playing people in school when they're in their 20s. I think that's a really good idea. But, okay, so when the Acolyte ended, when we did our video on the Acolyte, we were like, please God, let there be a season two. And then we learned that God is cruel and hates everything good in the world.
God, why?
So here's my question. How do you feel about season two of this show? Is that something that you want? Because it doesn't really end on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. I welcome it. It's not a need. It's not something that I want now. It's just like, I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to do something for that resolution, but it's a bit odd to lean onto that for season two. So I'm just like, okay, I'll welcome it and see what they do because it's a pretty good TV show.
Yeah, I agree. If they make one, great. If they don't, fine. I want to know about all that galactic stuff, but I'm not massively bothered about seeing more from the characters. I'd love to see Wim become a pilot. I'd love to see, you know, yes, I would like to see the characters again, but it's not like the Acolyte where I'm like, oh my God, we need to see what happens next. And to tell the truth, I will be stunned and a little bit disappointed if this show gets a season two, but the Acolyte doesn't. That would be a massive shame to me.
If it does get a season two, which I don't mind, it is odd if it does because it's got less viewership than the Acolyte. But also the other thing is like art isn't labeled by how much it's made or something. Yes. That's the thing as well. Maybe there's word of mouth, the show ended, possibly that would speak into season two, which is understandable. So there's a lot to consider about season two. Maybe this will have something to spark something for Acolyte as well.
Don't give me hope, John. Don't give me hope.
I need hope. I need it now.
I agree. I think that it's a good show. It's very consistent. I think it is more consistent than the Acolyte, and I don't think the highs of this show are as high as the Acolyte or of Andor, but still very good. It's very simple. I don't think there is as much to talk about in terms of the politics of it or the themes. It's very classic. It's very simple. I have no issues with all that. I think it's very good from that perspective. I like how there's light moments but dark moments. There's some really good dark moments. In fact, you mentioned the episode where they talk about war. The kids are literally sent out on the front line, and there's this moment where you think, oh my God, are the kids gonna have to kill, or are they going to be killed themselves? It's really rough. And sometimes the kids break down into tears and you really feel for them because they're young and dealing with proper difficult situations. And there's a moment where KB almost shuts down completely and Wim has to work fast and reset some of her augmentations. And we get a little look into her disability and how she feels like she can't function the same as everyone else. All really interesting. Same with Jod. I really agree with what you were saying earlier about him and how he's always at his wit's end with the kids. He's always trying to be nice to get more information out of him, and then he snaps, and at the end he's properly like shouting at them, and he beheads SM-33, and you get that speech where he talks about what happened to him, and clearly this Jedi picked him up when he was young and starving. Really, really interesting stuff. That's a story that I'd like to see more of. Who trained Jod? I wonder, could it be I'm a Gundai now? Jod says she, but that won't stop me, John. I don't know how Nikto gender works. I'm a Gundai could be trans. Oh, hold on. What if I'm a Gundai is in fact Pirate Captain Tak Renard? He's actually an ancient pirate who's been living for centuries. That's right. You knew I was going to do it and I did it.
I knew it.
I caught you off guard as well.
I thought you were about to make a proper theory here about maybe it's like an actual Jedi, but also it does have the right time scale in a way, because yep. Jod could possibly in the, well, the terrible events of Order 66.
I think it's more likely that this is after Order 66. I think if anything, he was trained by this Jedi and then the Jedi was killed, but like by an Inquisitor or something yeah. like that. That sounds like that could be the case to me.
That's a hardcore backstory for that, for Jod.
Yes, yeah, yes.
To do that.
It is.
I wonder, because Jod, we don't know what his resolution is. He just stands there. He just stands yes. and sees the ship.
Yeah.
You know,
which is a beautiful moment. You know, like
great.
He watches as arguably the only thing he's yeah. ever truly felt at home in.
I wonder if
crumbles.
He's reflecting on the fact that Tech Leonard had the same demise as well. So
yeah.
I wonder if he's having this idea of the whole journey is full of greed and betrayal, but also there's that demise as well of like the hubris.
Yeah.
He wanted to have that treasure, but there's that cost as well. So he's like kind of smiling at that idea. He's gone the same path as Tech. And it's really interesting to see because he's really obsessed with that. And the Onyx Cinder as well. He's obsessed with that ship as well. So he's just like, he really needs things, but it just comes at a cost.
It really is beautiful. His character just carries the whole thing so well. You know, the moment in episode 5 when he decides to challenge Fern for the captaincy and genuinely has a knife to her throat, and you genuinely think, what is this guy gonna do? He's money hungry, he doesn't care about anything but wealth, and you know why. He's lonely, he's starving, you understand that, but at the same time you really hate him for it. And Jude Law plays it incredibly, and speaking of being damn good, the kids all amazing. Now I do not condone putting child celebrities on a pedestal like many child actors. That can have really damaging stuff.
Serious repercussions as well.
Yes, but I gotta say, they were very, very, very good. They sold every moment so well. I mean, Robert Timothy Smith in the Neil prosthetics for most of it is just incredibly impressive. You never get brought out of it because of them. They play into their immaturity. And I really enjoyed them, and I'm really interested if we do see them again to see where that goes. But I think just all around the show was very just good, just really solid. And Star Wars is on a good path right now. I loved The Acolyte. I loved The Bad Batch. I love Skeleton Crew. I'm sure I'm going to love Andor season 2, baby.
Hey.
But we're doing well at the moment, and I'm enjoying it a lot. And I enjoy the variation of this franchise, even when decisions behind the scenes disappoint me to no end. The Acolyte, I feel like we're gonna talk about The Acolyte being cancelled forever because it's such a disappointment, but at the same time I seem to be always happy with this franchise because it always surprises me, it always challenges me, and that is exactly what I want from it. I never want to just be whelmed. I always want to be overwhelmed by a Star Wars thing. Bring on Andor season 2.
Very excited, very excited. Have they announced when Andor season 2 is properly coming out?
Yes, they have. It's the 22nd of April. Yes.
Yes. Seated. I'm always sat for that.
Now, I don't want to tempt fate here or anything, but... So Daredevil starts in March, Daredevil Born Again. And then in April, we have Andor. If Disney Plus can pull this off, they may have a legendary run of both of these shows back to back. I don't want to tempt fate. I don't want to do it. But imagine.
I imagine.
It's beautiful, man.
I'm just doing the Martin Scorsese pose right here. Just like
absolutely. Oh, that would be amazing. Truly. Okay, so Skeleton Crew, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I feel like a 7 or 8.
I was going to go 8. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. John's doing a little dance. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we are doing Captain America, The Winter Soldier. We're going to be continuing our look at the Captain America films with what a lot of people say is the best MCU film. That's going to be very interesting to
one of my
unpack.
First, actually. One of my first.
Oh, really?
Films. Yeah. Because I watched Thor the Dark World and then Captain America the Winter Soldier. So first time. Yeah, fun fact.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, and you can send us an email at lasttimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on The Winter Soldier, and we'll answer it right here in the podcast next week.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram @lasttimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips feature all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links there all in the description below. Thanks to LJN Smith, an excellent theme, and Roland Phillips Vogels as always. And I think that's everything. Take great, even.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.